Hello, good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. Now, tonight we'll be looking at the recent controversy surrounding the government funding to Tunku Abdul Rahman University College, or better known as TARUC. Joining us on the show, we have Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng, as well as Dato' Yap Kwok Fong, who is the president of the Tar Sheen Alumni Association. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Sharad.
Okay, so my first question is to you, Guan Eng. Thank you so much for doing away with formalities. Now, the government has agreed to now channel 30 million ringgit to TARUC through a trust fund, and this will be managed by the varsity alumni. However, Guan Eng, you're still adamant that the funds will only be released only after MCA relinquishes control. Now, why do you think that this is an acceptable solution?
Well, when we say that when MCA relinquishes control over TARUC, it doesn't mean that the trust fund, the monies cannot be used for the benefit of the students or the institution. So I think the problem is that when we say that we will only release to TARUC when MCA is no longer in administrative control, whether in terms of management or in terms of ownership, there is a perception that the government is not sincere in ensuring that money is made available. So in order to show that we mean what we say and say what we mean, we decided that we should then disperse the funds to a trust fund run by the TAR Alumni Association, where they can then decide how the funds are to be used for the benefit of the students, and also TARUC has an education institution. So this will then dispel the doubts expressed that we do not intend to come out with the money. So now the money is available. It is they will set up a trust fund. Once it is in operation by hopefully within a month, then the monies will then be made available for them, and the trust fund will then decide how the money is to be disbursed. And this will be done without any interference or any directive from the government or from any political party, solely decided by the Alumni Association.
Okay. Well, it seems infinitely reasonable on one hand, right? And it seems to be in step with the Pakatan Harapan's own ideas about institutional reform and such. But there's several issues I wanted to take up with you, because there is a history, and a long history, in which the MCA was involved in establishing this institution. They have a sense of ownership that, you know, it must be difficult for them to relinquish control over something they themselves started.
Well, I'm sure it's difficult to relinquish control as a political party. But no, if they do not want to seek any public funding, then it's not a problem. But when we decided to carry out institutional reforms, one of the key tenets is separation between public funding and politically controlled organizations. I think this is a fundamental principle that is practiced in every developed democratic country. You just cannot use or misuse public funding for politically controlled organizations. So we wanted to adhere to that. And this is part of the institutional reforms has suggested, not only by the internationally renowned organizations, but all reformist bodies. So, but I think principle and perception are two different things. Whilst many appreciate our observance or adherence to this principle, but perception is that we are trying to deny funding, public funding, for TARUC has an educational institution and also its students. So that's why we wanted to overcome that by showing that, yes, whilst we want to adhere to this principle, we do not want the students or the institutions to suffer. And that's why we're coming out with this funding for this trust fund.
I want to come back to the institutional reform that Pakatan Harapan has promised, but I just want to set the context. I want to understand why this controversy has resonated with so many Malaysians, Chinese Malaysians as well, and the importance of TAR College then in 1969 when it was established at TAR College University, now since 2013. You know, it was seen to be a way for Malaysian Chinese to get access to tertiary education, especially since there was a quota system in place. So TAB College University matters to the Chinese community. Can you weigh in on why you think this controversy has resonated with so many people?
I think, first of all, this is very important when you talk about this part of it, being one of the alumni of TAUC. I'm very proud to be a Taishan, by the way. We always say, once a Taishan, forever a Taishan. That is a kind of mission. That's why we heavily involve, or rather we devote our time into this Taishan Alumni Association. When you really trace back the history, back in 1969, when the government of the day, during 1972, I think, under the special parliament instrument, they granted TAR College a one-to-one. That means when you donate one, the government will come up with one, that kind of facilities. And I think Chinese community really donated quite a lot of money. When you look at TAR at that time, when the TAR College was formed, it was run, or rather the whole body is under the trust fund, named as TAR Trust Fund. You remember that, TAR Trust Fund. And it was actually a public trust all the while until 2013. When TAR College was upgraded to TAR-UC, the whole structure was changed. It changed from public trust to private trust. That means whatever money you have in the TAR Trust Fund no longer operate. Everything transfer, the asset and the money transfer to a private trust named as TAR Education Foundation. Then the structure comes in, you know. The structure of TAR Education Foundation, when we visited the M&A, a copy is here, you know, under 8.2, you will see clearly there's a violation. The violation, the 8.2 says that the composition of the BOT of the foundation shall at all time be maintained at least 50% are not connected to the founders, or no connection with the foundation or any of its founders.
Right.
So it's a clear violation here, because when you look at the name that appears as Board of Trustees, all the eight of them are MCA, either current leaders or ex-leaders. And worse, when you look at the structure, you know, of the subscribed member, it's supposed to have 30, but currently there are 15. All the 15, I have the list here.
Right.
All the 15 actually belonging to the same party.
Okay, just stop you right there, because it's a fascinating history and it really does clarify many things. But Gwani, if you could jump in here, and this tells that one of the things about the perception is that this is kind of the Pakatan Harapan bullying a rival, or DAP in particular, bullying a rival for the kind of loyalty of the Chinese community in the form of the MCA. How would you address that question?
Well, as I said, reforms are sometimes painful and difficult. And that's why whilst we want to adhere to the principle, but in order to reassure the public that we are not out to punish the institution or the students, we have made the funds available.
So but I think this have you engaged with the MCA? Have you engaged with the MCA?
Well, no, I have not engaged with them. And neither have they also approached us. I think basically, there is a political stalemate. And why there is a political stalemate is the reason behind the principal stand taken by the government to separate politics from education. So as long as you have a political party controlling this TAR-UC, I mean, whether directly or indirectly, they will want to derive some benefit from it. They can claim innocence, but you are actually sacrificing the future of the institution or the prospect of realizing their full potential. Let a professional body run it. Okay, if at this present moment you still don't want to let go, then we will still make the public funding available, but through their own alumni. It's not some outside body. It is their own alumni, comprising of their former students who have succeeded in business, as professionals, and are really distinguished Malaysians. So why are you against not only your own alumni, but even those who are former, who are still members of your party?
Gentlemen, and discuss this in a bit. We're going to cut to a short break and come back and discuss the role of politics and who has a space in the education sector. That's right. That's coming up next on Consider This. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me, Sherrod Kutin. We're talking tonight about the Tar College University controversy. Now, on the show with us is Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng, as well as Datuk Yap Kuak Fong, the President of the Tar Shan Alumni Association, better known as TAA. I'd like to come back and address some of the allegations that have been made about the budget, the funding. Now, granted allocations to Tar College University have been on the downtrend since Budget 2015. I think even under BN, it was on the downtrend. But apparently it has been further reduced to just 1 million in Budget 2020. Guan Eng, can you just address very quickly why there's been such a slash in the budget?
Well, we have emphasized that this 30 million will be made available if MCA relinquishes control. But since they have refused to relinquish control, then the funds will be made available still to the students and to the institutions for their benefit, but through a trust fund run by the alumni. So in effect, there is no difference. In fact, the reverse is true. There will be an increase because apart from the amount that we have actually allocated, whether it is 5.5 million this year or 1 million next year, you still get on top of that 30 million.
Yeah, but is the money, so how will the money be allocated then? What basis, Dr. Yap, you could explain to us, will the money be given out? Will it be essentially in scholarships? What about the, you know, operating costs of TAR? Will they get also money?
Yeah, that's a good question. As far as we're concerned, we have brainstormed along the way how to use the money. In fact, I just come back from a very important meeting. We want to structure ourselves, you know, so that we always breach the concept of CAT, there's corporate governance, transparency and accountability. And because of this, we have formalized a committee, a working committee, to make sure the structure of the new trust fund deflect this CAT concept. I'll come back to you. On the usage of a fund, definitely in terms of scholarships and whatever expenses, you know, that directly related to the student welfare, we'll take care of it.
And you're having a conversation also with the current management of Tar University College?
Yeah, we have been, we have at least a first contact with the Tar UC management.
And so, they're open to your ideas?
Yeah, so far so good. They never say no.
So, Guan Eng, I just want to clarify the fact that the government has said, okay, you will get the 30 million ringgit if it goes through a trust fund. Is it because there is fear that the money will be used for political purposes if it's not given through a trust fund?
We want to practice what we preach. When we say that there should be adherence to the principle of separation between political parties and public funding, by giving it to a trust fund run by the Tar Shan alumni, comprising of distinguished personalities who are not politicians, I think we fulfill that fundamental condition. At the same time, they will decide how it is to be used for the benefit of the students and for their welfare as well as for the benefit of the institution.
Can I ask a very direct question, Dr. Yap? Are you Guan Eng's crony?
Oh, that's a nice question. To be very frank, thanks to this controversial, you know, so I have a chance to have some nice conversation with the minister. So when I look at him, I look at him as the minister, not DAP leaders, you know. And to be very frank, I myself, I even confess, you know, in the Chinese media, I am indeed a lifelong MCA member.
You are a lifelong MCA member.
Yes, it's an open...
card-carrying.
I call it an open secret. You know? Everybody knows. Most of my friends know. The main thing I would like to stress here is, being a member, I'm only an ordinary member. I do not have any, I'm not the office bearer of the MCA leaders, you know. So I guess it is normal.
Okay, well, since Sharad has asked you a direct question and kind of cleared up some of the controversy or the allegations surrounding perhaps there's a cronyism element to this, I also have a question for Guaning. There's also been allegations that this could be a way for DAP to gain control of, you know, what is a very prestigious Chinese community educational institution, even indirectly. So is this a way for DAP to take control of TAUC?
No. How can we take control of TAUC when we have no interest whatsoever of being involved in the administration or the ownership? I think it should revert back to the community, because it is the community that funded TAUC. And I think it is only right and proper that the community exercises control and ownership over TAUC and not any political party.
I want to ask you, to the moment that you said in 2013, when the structure of the governance structure of the institution was changed and it became, you know, essentially privatized and the MCA dominated the governance structure, were voices raised? Was criticism raised at that point about how problematic this would be?
Yeah, I still remember as the president of Tashin Elomai. Once the government, you know, been changed, the government of the day, and there is an announcement whereby the grant, supposed to be 30 million, given to, normally, you know, given by the previous government to TAUC, has been, I would say, cancelled. So, of course, as a responsible alumni association, immediately we contacted, we tried to get somebody that we know, you know, and then we go and see minister. And when the minister pointed out this particular point, and we were taken aback, you know.
So you were not aware of it until that point?
We do not know, frankly speaking, like most of the public, you know. Even right now, we try to explain to the public, a lot of them do not know, because it's a very complicated structure, you know, to us. And whatever explanation, you know, to me, or to our Tashin Elomai Association, we think the whole matter has been heavily politicized. And that is the reason why we supported separation of politics and education. It must be separated. That is the first point the TAA would like to, you know, and get shown. The second point is, we want corporate governance, accountability and transparency, in transparency in the whole structure. When we came to know about the whole thing, actually we have formed a small committee consisting of our very experienced legal advisor and also some prominent businessmen, and we go and investigate it. And it's not difficult, you know, ROS and so on. When we got the info, we got the truth. And it's a shock that all the so-called the structure is somehow governed by or controlled by or managed by, you know, by single party. So to us, that is not so right. But one very important point I would like to stress here is that is a structure. But I must say one thing. TAUC has been run by a team of professionals. That is a management staff, the principal and so on, you know, they are very professional. They are very good people. And it is a very professionally run organization. Our issue here is the top part.
Right, gentlemen, I want to come back and touch on that. Let's elaborate on the impact of having a politically linked tertiary education system right here on Consider This. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris with Nishira Kuti. We're going to continue our discussion over the controversy over the ownership and funding of Ta University College, which has opened up far-reaching discussion over the influence of politics in Malaysian life. Now, thank you so much, Dato' Yap Kwak Fong, the president of the Tashin Alumni Association, for being on the show earlier. Now we have currently on the show Datuk Kenny Ng Bee Khen, legal advisor for the Tashan Alumni Association. Of course, Lim Guan Eng, the finance minister, continues his conversation with us. I want to talk, gentlemen, about resolutions. Where we are right now, from an outsider's point of view, it looks like there's a standoff since, you know, Guan Eng, you said that you're not in discussions with MCA at the current moment. Where are we in terms of this standoff and resolutions? Because will the staff and the students of TAR-UC become collateral damage in this battle? Let's have it. Let's go with Dr. Kenny first.
Thank you, Melissa, for having me here this evening. What a joy and honor to be part of this conversation. The problem can be easily resolved if you look at it. What is the gist of it? The gist of it is a legal problem. When the foundation, such as our TAR Education Foundation, is set up, it is standard requirement that the power structure, especially the Board of Trustees, must have at least 50% independent people. And this is a requirement across the board for other foundations as well. And also, when a foundation applies for tax exemption, similarly, the MOF will impose this requirement. And then when TAR-UC was formed in 2013, the government then imposed that condition. But somehow, I think due to oversight, nobody realized it until lately.
Okay, so let's say those 5 years, we'll put aside, you say oversight might have been the reason as opposed to some collusion. The issue is now, does that violation of the terms now impose a pressure upon the parties concerned to either relinquish, to now vacate at least 50% of the seats on the Board of Trustees? I mean, what exactly is the legal implication? Do they then cease to be viable, recipients of that position? Can they be now forced out as a consequence of this violation?
There are consequences are flowing from the fact that you have not complied to the basic requirement. Bear in mind, education institution like that is also licensed by the Education Ministry, and there are conditions imposed right from the start for this minimum 50% requirement. Similarly, for your tax exemption status now, the MOF can review, and if you don't comply, they can withdraw that tax exemption status now. And then similarly, this is a company limited by guarantee, governed by the Companies Act, and it is under the jurisdiction of our SSM, our Ministry of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs. They can also ask them to show cause why you have not complied. But it seems to me the complying with that requirement is quite straightforward. At the moment, they have 8 or 9 trustees. These are basically a subset of the membership list. They are all renowned MCA members now. What they need have to do is to make sure that at least half of them resign from the Board of Trustees and appoint members from the community to be independent trustees. Bear in mind, this foundation, it is very much standing as a public trustee for the purposes of the community. And rightly, the government those days and the government today wants to ensure that the community independently are represented.
Sure.
That is the issue.
Guan Eng, what are you going to be doing next? I mean, how are you going to be approaching this standoff? Are you going to be digging your heels in and just waiting them out?
No, we're not digging our heels in. We're coming out with 30 million ringgit. So we are, and that's why we are.
So you're digging
sure
deep into your pockets, really.
You want to put it that way, Shira. But what we want to ensure is that there'll be no collateral damage. Mm. That if there's any dispute, let it be between the government and MCA. And so that we want to ensure that the law is observed and complied with. At the same time, we make these funds available to the trust fund so that the welfare of the students and also the institution is not affected. Sure. So there's no collateral damage. Sure. In fact, what we want is to take politics out of education and also put emphasis back on the welfare of the students and the institution. And I think it is time that education institutions be purely focused, not politically aligned, but purely focused on preparing the future for the young, as well as the young for the future.
Does this have an expiry date? I mean, I'm wondering in terms of timelines, how will you be able to determine if there isn't going to be collateral damage? Is there a you know, countdown for when this will all explode or blow up?
No, Melissa, when the money is made available
right.
for the benefit of the students or institution, how can there be collateral damage? That they are more given now compared to the past.
So the taps are not going to be turned off okay.
Yes,
on the fund.
Yes, because we are going to, but we are going to give it
to the trust fund,
to the alumni, to decide how it is to be dispersed. Mm.
Is there a possibility for a dialogue between the government of the day and their political rivals? In this case, the MCA. Is there a way that actually a consensus can be forged on a new norm, as it were, in terms of governance?
No, as far as I'm concerned, that what we are concerned about, or what we are focused on, is simply this: comply with the law. And these laws were actually passed by the previous government. You do not even comply with the laws that you have drafted or you have approved. Mm. And I think that's wrong. If you do not observe the law, how can you be a lawmaker and at the same time a lawbreaker? So that's simply this. Adhere to the law, make sure that the trustees have received approval from the minister as required by the law. Make sure that at least 50% are not connected to MCA.
Right.
So once you fail to observe, and you only observe in its breach, we as government got to ensure its compliance.
Gentlemen, that's all the time we have on the show tonight. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
Being on the show. Appreciate your time and your insights.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sharad. Thanks, Melissa. Yeah.
All right. I'm Melissa Idris. With me, Sharad Curtin. We are signing off for Consider This Tonight. We will catch you same time tomorrow night. Thanks for watching. Good night.